Father God, we honor you this morning. We thank you for being our Lord and Savior. We thank you for being our Heavenly Father. We thank you that your plans are to restore and redeem and to love us in spite of ourselves. Father God, this morning I pray that you will allow us to see each one of us individually. God, allow us to see how important we are in your kingdom. God, please reveal to us the impact that we have on people's lives around us and people's lives that we may never know about. God, this morning we yield to you and we ask that you will bless this time that we have together, that we can see something we've never seen before, to be inspired to a level, God, that will help us make a change in the world. We pray these things and believe them because of your goodness and because of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Once again, good morning. The scripture this morning, or scriptures, is going to come out of the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 23. I am going to start about at verse 1 and just read a few verses. Like I said, definitely missed everybody last week. I've learned to, I guess Wednesday mornings are not easy for me by any means. I guess just because I feel such a responsibility at times to make sure there's a word, and not in a negative way, but in a way that's teaching me to rely on God like I never thought that I would possibly be able to do. So I definitely appreciate that. And when I was talking to God about a word and I was trying to listen to him, I kept coming back to the scripture because I believe a lot of times in our lives, we look up to our pastors, to our elders, and, you know, to leaders in the community. And I think that's great. It's absolutely great. I believe the Bible is extremely specific when it tells us to bless people that bring a word. It tells us to bless people that are over us, to pray for our government, to do these things. But I think a lot of times for some of us, We don't acknowledge or we forget the impact that we're having on others around us. We always say, oh, good word, pastor, good word, whomever it may be. But we forget that sometimes us sowing a seed or us praying for somebody or us doing some, you know, a kind act that God told us to do sometimes changes people's lives more than a word from a preacher or a word from a prophet or whomever it may be. So I want to encourage you this morning to know that you are important in the kingdom of God, to know that God loves you as much as he loves me, that God loves you as much as he loves your pastor or your elder or whomever it may be, because Jesus died for you as much as he died for the greatest preacher in the world. Jesus died for you as much as he did for the person that sins less in the world. Jesus died for you. And it is a very simple thought. It's easy to say, but I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, I believe by the Spirit of God this morning that God wants to remind you. He wants you to know how important you are and that people are in your life are waiting for you to believe with them. They're waiting for you to speak a word. They're waiting for you to pray for them, not mama in them, not daddy in them, or sister in them. They are waiting for you to pray because your prayer of faith is just as important as anybody else's. This morning, as I went to the gas station, and I refuse to tell people what gas station I go to because I don't want everybody there. God talks to me at the gas station. It's amazing. I absolutely love it. I come home sometimes laughing and I come home sometimes crying. And I came home crying this morning because when I was walking into the gas station, barely awake, because I need that cup of coffee and that donut, glazed only, please. I was walking in and a lady that was apparently laying on the ground on a plastic bag looked up at me. And like I said, I'm not very awake in the mornings. It takes a lot to get me going. I'm more of a night owl. She looks up at me and I have my AirPods in and I'm just doing my own thing. And I finally notice her and she looks up at me and she says, sir, how is your day going? And I'm not naive enough to think that whether she cared or not is really not important to me in this situation. And maybe it was just something she says to get people to look down at her and acknowledge and, you know, maybe give a gift or whatever it may be. But as I began to walk into the gas station and I was getting gas, I tried to put my AirPods back in and study and listen to a word and worship music or whatever it may be. God wouldn't let me shake it. And I began to talk to God, and I'm like, God, how can this lady that has absolutely nothing, that's no doubt been laying here for what I would guess to be hours, and is filthy, doesn't really have any shoes on, who doesn't have a lot of the nice things that a lot of us have, or all of us have really, doesn't have a roof above her head, how can she even ask me a question of how my day's going? And God began to minister to me and talk to me and show me that, listen, I need to make a difference in that lady's life. And then he began to show me how this Bible study has made a difference in my life. You see, I'm not exactly for sure how long we've been doing this Bible study, and I have no idea if it's been a year or 2 years, and it's really not important to me in that sense. But I know what God has done because Coach Party asked me to do this, and Brother Kevin and all you guys that's in the call right now, because you guys were willing to do a Bible study. You have no idea of the lives that you're impacting. You have no idea that my brother-in-law has taken these words that we are able to share each week, and he put them on an internet site, and I have a card that I can give people, and they can scan a QR code, and it'll take you to every word that we've been able to share over the last however many months or years. That's because you guys were willing to take 20, 30, 40 minutes each Wednesday and sit together and be willing to learn about the Word of God. And then people down in Rome, people all over get to hear this message, and they get this message brought to them each and every week because you guys were willing to take a chance. You were willing to study. You were willing to listen to somebody that you didn't really know at the beginning. And I believe that's what God is desiring for each one of us, that God has got family members and friends and coworkers in our life, that they are waiting for us to make a difference in their life. So in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 23, this is David, he's running from King Saul. The Bible says, then they told David, saying, look, the Philistines are fighting against Keilah, and they are robbing the threshing floors. Know that the threshing floors are the place where they would separate the grain from the harvest so they can have things to eat, make bread, and so forth. Verse 2, therefore David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go and attack these Philistines? And the Lord said to David, go and attack the Philistines and save Keilah. Verse 3, but David's men said to him, look, we are afraid here in Judah. How much more then if we go to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines? Verse 4, then David inquired of the Lord once more. In verse 2, David asked God, hey, listen, should we go down? God said, go get them. In verse 3, the men said, listen, David, we're scared, we're nervous. Are you sure we're supposed to be doing the thing that you said God told you to do? In verse 4, David goes back to God and says, listen, are you sure we're supposed to go down? Brothers and sisters, this morning, never let somebody tell you that it's a sin or it's not a good idea to be honest with God. It's okay if you're scared. It's okay if you're nervous. It's okay if you don't understand, as long as your first instinct is to go back to God and ask him. You see, God didn't strike David down for asking him ultimately the same question again. God didn't strike David down and say, listen, you're supposed to be the man of power for the hour. You're supposed to be the great man of faith. You're supposed to be the servant that's after my heart. You're supposed to be this or you're supposed to be that. The Bible says that God told David, yes, I'm sure, go down and help these people out. In verse 5, or excuse me, I want to do the latter part. I'll just do verse 4 again. Then David inquired of the Lord once again, and the Lord answered and said, arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into your hand. Verse 5, and David and his men went to Keilah and fought with the Philistines, struck them with a mighty blow, and took away their livestock. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. Now it happened when Abiathar the son of Ahimelech fled to David at Keilah that he went down with an ephod in his hand. And Saul was told that David had gone to Keilah. So Saul said, God has delivered him into my hand, for he has shut himself up by entering a town that has gates and bars. So in this scenario, David has got the victory, did what God said he was supposed to do. And the Bible says that Saul hears about it and Saul gets excited that David is surrounded by gates and bars. King Saul thinks David has got a victory. However, this victory is going to give King Saul the ultimate victory. In other words, he thinks David has wrapped himself around with barriers. He thinks that David is surrounded and he thinks that he's about to go down, kill King David, and then therefore no more is he going to have to be worried about establishing his kingdom. But that is absolutely not what happened. Verse 9, when David knew that Saul plotted evil against him, he said to Abiathar the priest, bring the ephod here, or ephod. Verse 10, then David said, O Lord God of Israel, your servant has certainly heard that Saul seeks to come to him at Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. Will the men of Keilah deliver me into his hand? Will Saul come down as your servant has heard? O Lord God of Israel, I pray, tell your servant. And the Lord said, he will come down. Last verse, verse 12. Then David said, will the men of Keilah deliver me and my men into the hand of Saul? And the Lord said, they will deliver you. So you have Saul coming down, said, listen, I'm about to get the victory. He's coming after David again. We all know that Saul goes after David for many different opportunities and chances. He thinks that God is going to give David into his hand, but each and every time, God himself delivers King David out of the hand of King Saul. So we're in the situation that David has prayed to the Lord and David has got instruction to listen, I want you to go down and save these people. And God gives him a victory. And right after this victory, the Bible says that here comes the attack. Here comes King Saul saying, listen, you've done it this time, David. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to kill you and your family, and I'm not going to have to worry about things anymore. How many of us today, how many of us when we hear this message can attest to the fact that we feel like we've had some victories in our life. We've had some situations go good for us, but sometimes we feel surrounded by the enemy. Sometimes we feel like, listen, is it ever going to get any better? Sometimes we feel like, is there going to be any more deaths in the family? Is anybody else going to get sick? Is this trouble going to be here always? When are my finances going to turn around? When? And that's okay. Keep talking to God. I encourage people to talk to God and ask him questions until you get your answer. Because I know when my kids bother me with questions, I know that I'll answer them sometimes just because they're getting on my nerves or just because they're persistent. But this morning, I have good news for you. When David was at his wit's end, when David knew that he was surrounded, David did not pretend like the gates and bars were not around him. David did not fake it until he made it. David realized what was going on, and he knew that the only one that could cause an impact in his life was God himself. And he said, listen, bring the ephod to me. What was the ephod? It was a garment that only the Levitical priesthood could wear, meaning you had to be from the lineage of a Levite to put it on. You had to be, according to the law, a priest, most of the time the high priest, to wear this garment because you would wear it when you acquired of the Lord. But King David, this is not the only time he does it, and I might start running around the house. David says, listen, I'm at my wit's end. I'm surrounded by the enemy. Nothing's going my way. I thought God brought me here, but now I feel like everything is collapsing in. David said, bring the ephod. My question to David is, but David, you're not supposed to be able to wear it. David, there's rules written that says you can't do this. David, people think that you can't do this. Brothers and sisters, this morning, I want to encourage you with what I believe is a word from the Lord. I believe that if you will take your faith and activated by the word of the Lord himself, I believe you can bring about miracles in people's lives. Stop waiting on the pastor to pray for you. Pray for yourself. Stop waiting for your brother or sister or mother or cousin or whoever it may be to join you in prayer. You have the power on the inside of you. The Bible says that the same spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead is the same spirit that's on the inside of you and me. You have the power to impact others around you. You are important. You're the one that's encouraging people. So what? People may not say thank you for this or for that. I want you to know this morning, if you're hearing this message, then you have impacted my life. I may never say thank you or explain it, but I promise you, brothers and sisters, because we are joining together in faith this morning or this afternoon or whenever somebody may hear this message, it's because God designed it that way. It's because God has brought us together, and God wants you to know that you are valuable in the kingdom of God. One of the greatest things that gets on my nerves probably more than anything is somebody that's saved by grace, that proclaims Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and their attitude is always, woe is me. And I've been in that situation, trust me. I can whine with the best of them. Alex is over here amening. I could say, oh, this is going bad or this is going bad. But I want you to know when King David's life was threatened again, after God led him into this situation, hear me this morning. King David didn't go out sleeping with a bunch of women. He had a word from the Lord to go down here to Keilah and go take care of this people. Go save their life. Go save their families. And he did exactly what God told him. But here came another attack. But what I want to encourage you with this morning is to know that King David knew that the only thing that could help him, the only thing that could deliver him, was a word from God himself. And King David was willing to break the rules to get relief. He was willing to break the rules to get deliverance. You see, I believe when King David said, bring that ephod down here, that he understood, listen, it's not just for the priest to pray for me. This represents the presence of the Most High God. And I want to get into his presence, and I'll do whatever it takes to get there. And I believe that King David, not only this time, but a few times in scripture, put on that ephod to say, listen, sometimes it's okay for other people to pray for me, but this day I need deliverance. This day I need God to save me and my men and their families and my family. And I want you to know this morning, brothers and sisters, that this is the day that the Lord has made. And you and I can put on that royal priesthood. He's called us a royal priesthood, a holy nation. He's called us blessed. And once he calls us a saint, he never again calls us a sinner. He said that the blood of his son Jesus is more than enough to save us and to redeem us. He has called you and I to greatness, but sometimes we have to realize our value before we can experience the miracles. In closing this morning, I had a situation happen last Saturday, I believe it was. We went out to eat at a pizza place and got some wings or whatever with the kids, me and Alex and the kids. And I had gotten a gift card. And so the guy gives us our total and I give him the gift card. And one of my worst nightmares is like if like a card declines or something, I don't know. It's just embarrassing, I think. So he swaps the gift card and I immediately see the guy's face and he's like, sir, sorry, it doesn't work. And I was absolutely embarrassed, but I was like, oh, okay, here you go. And, you know, gave him the cash or whatever. And I give him the cash and, you know, pay for the meal or whatever. And I go sit down and I'm still embarrassed. So long story short, that night, you know, watch some football, put the kids to bed. And I'm on the phone with these card people till 12 something in the morning. And I finally get to talk to somebody and they're like, listen, there's nothing I can do because this card has never been activated. And I began to think about the times that I saw my daughter or other people play with gift cards for $100, $500, whatever it may be. But I knew there was no value there because either they were just simply cards or they were just simply, you know, had been used up or whatever it may be. So I asked the lady on the phone, I was like, well, listen, can't you activate them? And she said, sorry, sir, I can't do that once you have it. So long story short, I had to get two new gift cards that were activated. But I began to think about this. And I began to think about how so many times in our lives that things are there in our lives and we don't understand that we need to activate them with faith. We need to take the Word of God, and the Word of God works good for my pastor. It works good for my apostle. I've seen God do amazing things in my apostle's life because she would take the Word of God and she would activate it by her faith, and then miracles come about. I've seen my wife, when I pray for her, if she was sick or something, immediately get better because she activated it with her faith. But you see, those cards were no good. Those gift cards were absolutely no good to me because they weren't activated. And brothers and sisters, the Word of God sometimes is not any good to us until we apply it to our own lives. And I want you to know that the enemy, I believe, is trying to convince us that we're not impactful. We're not people that can change other people's life because we don't have this, or we don't do it this way, or we don't do it like everybody else does it. But I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that you have value, and your value needs to be activated with your faith. And then I promise you, once you see miracles come to pass, then people's lives will forever be changed, and people are waiting on you and me to not just try to hold our gift cards and think there's value there. We have to know that our faith is what's going to activate. Our faith is what's going to bring about miracles. Our faith is what's going to change people. Our faith is what's going to, when we mess up, go back to God and say, God, please forgive me. Brothers and sisters, this morning, you are important. You are strong. I got a message from my sister the other day. She tried to call me because she wanted me to pray for a lady. And she said, listen, I couldn't get a hold of you. And that's okay. That's okay, because I prayed for the lady, Alan. I prayed and I believed for her. And my heart was extremely full, because not too long ago, my sister would have told the lady, listen, let me call you back when my brother could pray. You see, my sister's realizing that her prayer gets to the same Father that my prayer gets to. And that doesn't mean that we shouldn't join together and there's not collective prayer power, but it does mean that you can pray and watch mountains move. You can pray and watch people be delivered. You can pray and watch miracles come to pass. You can pray and your kids will do things a different way. You can pray and you can watch that small kid worship and praise the Lord like you've never seen before. You can pray and believe that you're forgiven. I want to honor everybody that was here at the beginning of this Bible study, because I promise you, you're impacting people. You're changing the lives of people that will never get the chance to come to you and say, I know it was a simple gesture, but thank you for activating your faith. They'll never have a chance to come to you and say, listen, my son was healed because you sat down on a Wednesday morning. And I promise you, do not let the enemy ever try to convince any of you how important or how unimportant you are. Jesus died for you as much as he died for me. He died for me as much as he did for my mama or my elder or my apostle or whomever it may be. And that's good news this morning. So if you feel like you're surrounded and you feel like you've been trying your absolute best, know that you can go back to God like King David did. You can call for the ephod because you're already a holy priesthood. You can say in the name of Jesus because he already made a way. You don't got to do it like King David did it, because there's a better way that God provided for you and me. Let's pray. I thank you this morning, God. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you've given us the power to activate our faith. I thank you for my brothers and sisters that are in this call and that will hear this message, God, that may feel like they are surrounded, that may feel like things keep going wrong and this is never matching up and this is never getting done or whatever it may be, because I know I get frustrated. And God, I pray for a peace that will come over them in the name of the Lord Jesus, that you will give my brothers and sisters peace and joy and comfort in the Holy Spirit. I pray that you will bless their businesses, bless their ideas, bless their families, bless them to a point, God, that they know that it's you intervening. And Lord, I pray that the enemy will never be able to whisper to them that they are not enough or they're not as important or they'll never get there. God, I pray for inspiration in their life. I pray for strength. God, I speak prosperity over your people. I speak wealth and I speak health over your people in the name of Jesus. And God, I thank you. I thank you for the people in my life that are making an impact. God, I pray that you will remind them of what they're doing. I pray that you will send angels their way to go to them and to minister to them and to interact with them and to give them and show them something they've never seen before. I speak that our best days are ahead of us. I speak that that we're going to continue on serving you, and I speak that the miracles are going to get greater and greater in the name of Jesus. We love you, and by faith, consider these things done. We thank you and honor you. In Jesus' name, amen.